1 Corinthians 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. Verse 6. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you have not received? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us you have become kings. And would that you did reign, so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffed and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And verse 21. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love in a spirit of gentleness? This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's so wonderful to be here with you. My name's Rob. I'm the pastor of the church. Thanks to Sam for leading us through the first part of our service. Please do keep your Bibles open at 1 Corinthians 4, because we're going to be looking at that passage together. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to a church in a place called Corinth, which I think is in Greece. Anyone been to Greece? Yeah, nice holiday destination. Very sunny, not like Dagenham. We're going to pray again, and then we're going to look at this passage together. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are a father to us. We need you. We need your direction, your wisdom, your power at work in our lives. We are your creation. Thank you that you made us and love us. And we pray that we would be those who would have your spirit in us today, that we would hear your voice as you speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. sometimes we start with a question, and today we're going to start with a question. So you need to turn to the person next to you, and you need to tell them of someone that you admire, that you want to be like. Tell them of someone that you admire, that you want to be like, and tell them why. We all imitate someone, don't we? Have a look on the screen and see what's happening. Perhaps the person that you were talking about with your person next to you was a parent, someone you wanted to just time and time again, you find yourself wanting to be like them, wanting to do things as they do or did. That little girl is obviously wanting to be like her mum, and therefore, you know, gets all the right things together to look like her. We all want to be like someone. We aspire to that, don't we? Maybe it's someone we know really well, or maybe it's someone that we see and we don't know. We have never met them, but we look online, we read about that person, we think that person has courage or status or something that I want. And so we long to be like them. And actually, we make decisions in our lives that we hope will get us to that point at some point in the future. We might be humble enough to realize that it takes a lot of effort to be a professional tennis player or a professional footballer, but we make steps in the short term that we think will get us there. We all want to be like someone else. But interestingly, I think we don't want to be like those people who are being dishonored. Just have a think. Is there anyone that you can think of that is being dishonored or some that people dishonor? I can think of some. I can think of people living on the streets. There's quite a lack of honor to that, isn't there? We don't tend to aspire. They don't intend to be the people that we admire and look up to or want to be like. We don't want to be those who are dishonored. We tend to look up to people who are being adored and loved. That everyone is saying, aren't they great? Now, nothing wrong with looking up to our parents because they have so many attributes that are worthy and definitely worthwhile following. But here in 1 Corinthians, the problem with quite new Christians in Corinth was that they were aspiring to be leaders like the leaders amongst them who were showered with honor. The people who were the big names, the celebrities in the Christian world, small as it is. And they wanted to be just like those who are being honored. And you can see the appeal of that, because they would want honor too. They would want people to shower them with honor. Does that sound a bit familiar to us? In the churches today, across the world, my guess is that there's still this kind of thing happening, isn't it? That the people who are being put up on almost a platform are the rich people, the successful people. People who everyone's saying, oh, aren't they great? Aren't they a great speaker? Everyone wants to listen to them. Why is that a problem for Christians to do that? Well, we're going to have a think about that today. And why is it a problem to admire, to imitate the wrong people? And why does Paul, the apostle, say, imitate him? Why does he say that? If you look down in your passage, he says, verse 14, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. Well, we'll think a little bit together about what we are to imitate in Paul as Christians. But we do all imitate someone. We always want to be like someone else. In Paul's day in Corinth, honor and shame were a big deal. Now, I'm from this country originally, and it's taken me a while to realize how much honor and shame play a part in most cultures around the world. Okay, put your hand up if you think that honor and shame plays a big part in the country or culture that you're from. Yeah? In fact, it's more important to people than whether something's true or false, or whether something's good or bad. Or, you know, it's more important that the right honor is given to the right things, and shame is only given to the wrong things. And Paul is writing to Christians in this kind of culture where honor and shame are big deal. So that is why they're wanting to be like those who are being honored, and not be like the apostles and Christ, who in this life was dishonored. So Paul writes to them and he warns them. That's what the word admonish means. Admonish means just to warn against something. And Paul says, I'm not here to make you ashamed. He could just humiliate them, make them feel small. If he was just doing that, he wouldn't set forward any alternative for them. But he doesn't do that. As we just heard, he says the alternative is to imitate him. So Paul warns them as a loving father would. It's quite hard to get away from Paul's affection for the Christians he is writing to. How does he describe them, and how does he describe himself? Just have a look down. How does he describe them in those verses we just read, 14, 15? And how does he describe them? He describes them as children. He says, as my beloved children. Yeah? And how does he describe himself? Father. Again, raise the hands. In your culture, your background, if someone is to say of someone that they are like a child to them, or that they are like a parent to them, is that a big deal? Hands up. Every culture, it's a big deal if someone's saying, you are like my daughter. Or maybe even you don't use the word like, you say, you are my daughter. You are my son when someone gets married. It's huge, isn't it? Massive. Paul has affection for these Christians. And so, because he has that affection, he's not just simply going to stand by when they're struggling to live the Christian life. Struggling to figure it all out. Struggling to make the right choices. He is a loving father, and so he speaks to them. Imagine you have had the privilege of leading someone to Jesus, sharing the gospel with them, and then they actually accept him as their Lord and Savior. Fantastic, amazing. And then a few years down the line, you hear from someone else that they're having a really hard time as a Christian. Perhaps they're getting confused, they're going after the wrong things. What would you do? Sorry? Spend time with them. You would do something, wouldn't you? You wouldn't let them struggle on their own. You would step in and you'd want to be involved. And you'd go and spend time with them. And maybe you wouldn't, because I'm British, you know, you wouldn't say imitate me, because that's not a very British thing to say, is it? But you would be very aware as you're meeting with that person that your own life is an example to them. You might not say it, but you'd expect that they would want to copy or emulate something that you're doing as a Christian. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, if there was anyone else to do this for you, to be a father for you, someone that you could look up to, that would be great, but there isn't. And so in the absence of that, imitate me. You can hear his affection for them. There's nothing reserved or cool about him. In his, he is like a father, like a dad, and he doesn't keep his affections quiet, because he loves them as his children in the faith. He won't simply stand by and watch them struggle. Or watch them pursue a life that will take them away from Christ or the cross of Christ. So Paul warns them as a loving father would. Have a look down with me at verses 8 to 13. And after I finish reading this, I want you to turn to the person next to you and describe what kind of attitude, or how is Paul, what is Paul's tone? What is he actually, how is he delivering this, these words? What's his tone when he says these things? Already, you have all you want. Already, you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings. And would that you did reign, so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Turn to the person next to you. What kind of, how is he speaking when he said, writes that down on the page? How is he speaking? Excitable, yeah? Okay, with lots of energy. Okay, anything else? Some frustration maybe? It's weariness, yeah. What did you get? Sadness. Sarcastic. It is sarcastic, isn't it? He's saying, would that you reign. You have become kings. He's really caricaturing how they are saying, speaking of themselves, the things that they are bigging themselves up about. And he is contrasting that in stark contrast with the apostles. And it's very stark, isn't it, this contrast that he draws. So the Bible is quite funny sometimes. It's quite ironic or sarcastic. And Paul says, this is what you're claiming to be, and this is what we are. And compare the difference. But more than just compare the difference, the question behind what he's putting to them there is, how did you get there? If this is true of you, how is it true, and how did you get yourselves there? When the apostles themselves aren't even there. Here we go. Here's the contrast. The apostles are reviled, rejected, scorned by people, spat on, bottom of the pile, trodden under people's feet, cast aside. Not much honor there, is there? But the Corinthians, they've got all the honor. Or at least they think they do. Before other people, they're looking for people to lay out the red carpet. Say, it's all about you, Corinthians. To come to church, to see them. It is ironic, isn't it? It's quite sad. Paul describes them, and the final thing he says in verse 13, we have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. You just finished a bit of food or something. It's all grubby. You don't really want to touch it. You cast it aside, don't you? And Paul says that's just like us, apostles. People don't treat us with honor. They don't go, wow, apostles. They actually want them gone. They reject them. And this is actually in line with what the cross of Christ is. The message of the apostles. Because the message of the apostles was about a crucified savior. And in this culture that Paul is writing to, if you get crucified to hang on a cross beside criminals, you don't get much more shameful than that. But that is their Lord, that is their Savior, the Christ. And so you would expect that those who follow him would get some of that kind of treatment. Jesus himself says, if you love me, the world will hate you, because it hated me first. And here, Paul wants to wake them up. He wants to He does it in such a way to make them feel uncomfortable, probably, because he wants them to see there's a problem here. And he wants them to see how far they've drifted from the message of the cross. The message of the cross, which has in it, for now, some dishonor and some shame. But for eternity, has glory. For now, it has dishonor and shame. But in eternity, it would be glory forever with Christ. And he says, look how far you've drifted from that. In the pursuing honor now from other people, the admiration of the crowd, look how far you've drifted from that. It's not that Paul's saying to them, there's something that you don't believe. It's not like he's saying, I just need to explain the gospel to you again. Because they wouldn't have said that they disbelieved the gospel. But they were failing to actually work out in practice what the gospel means for their lives. You see that? And I think as Christians, sometimes we hang up over the, oh, are people giving the right answers? Oh, do we have knowledge? But this passage pushes us to think, no. Okay, knowledge is the first step. Yes, absolutely. But what are we doing with that knowledge? How are we living out the cross of Christ? And Paul says, if you are living it out, it will involve some dishonor from those who don't know Christ, from our friends who don't believe, from our colleagues, our neighbors, our family members who don't know Jesus. And we find that hard, don't we? We find that hard. We want to be liked. We want people to affirm us, to say, oh, it's going to be, we want to be like you, for them to think like that. And Paul says, that's not the way of Christ for the here and now. So he warns them as a loving father would, that he does that big contrast. The apostles, trodden underfoot. The Corinthians, dizzying heights. You know, that they should be honored by everyone around them. And then he tells them to imitate him. And this is where we're going to think about it for ourselves. We talked about at the start, didn't we, who we imitate. Well, if you're a Christian, imitate Christ, the rejected and crucified Savior, and imitate his apostles, who were also willing to be dishonored for the name of Christ. That's simply what we're looking at today. If you're a Christian here today, it's wonderful that we can think about these things together. It's not often that we get to passages like this where we have to be quite frank and honest and say, I didn't really realize I was signing up for all of that when I followed Christ. And we find this hard. I find it hard. But imitate the apostles who were dishonored. My guess is that Paul, the apostle, wasn't on our list of who we admire and who we want to live like. There's a reason for that, isn't it? Because he had a hard time. People disliked him. People were dishonest about him. People put him in prison. And yet for Christians, we're encouraged here, if we are those who struggle with this, to imitate him, to look at how he lived for Christ, and to want to be like that, and to pray and ask God to help us to be like that. The people I tend to want to be like are not experiencing much dishonor or difficulty for following Jesus. The people I tend to want to be like are impressive by even the world standards. Maybe not O2 Arena, filling a massive massive arena full of people, but they're big, you know, they get opportunities to speak to lots of people. They get asked to be at conferences. Their churches may be growing. There's lots of people wanting to go. They're the kind of people that I long to be like. But I have to ask myself the question: is it because I want recognition, or is it because I want to be like Jesus? I might say I want to be like Jesus. And therefore, that's the reason why I want to be like that person. But it's just interesting, isn't it? I'm not choosing the pools of this world. I'm not choosing the suffering Pakistani believers in other countries and saying, I want to be like them. I'm not choosing the, you know, the people in Sudan or people in North Korea who are standing up for their faith. That's not the people I naturally go to. Because I guess I think that following Jesus won't cost me anything. It won't cost me the honor that I think I deserve from other people. Imagine there was a church member in another connected church to ours. We're part of two networks, the Anglican Mission in England and the Co-Mission Network in London. And imagine if on social media, someone had caught a video of a church member in another church speaking about Jesus on the high street in London. And they cut it so that it sounded awful. And they made that person sound like that. That's the only thing that they said that day. And everyone else on social media was saying, this is exactly what's wrong with Christians. This is exactly what's wrong with people who go to church. And then we realized on social media that our church account is connected to that church's account. So we're following them so everyone can see that we're associated with them. What we do next would really tell us what we are aspiring for, what we want. Because if we want honor, we would quite quickly distance ourselves from them. But if we want Christ, we would be saying we stand with them, whatever the cost. You see? It shows when the association is costly. And Paul is saying it's costly for them to associate with him. At this point in time, he's not yet thrown into prison, but he will be. It will be costly for them in their society to say, we are followers just like Paul, just like Christ. And yet, it's worth everything, isn't it? That's what Paul has been saying in this letter. He's been saying that Christ has died for sins so that you could live with him forever. He's saying that you have all that you need for this life and the next. And so, the temporary things, the everyday things that we might give up for following him, in the end are just small. They will prove to be small. If Christ matters most, we'll stand with people who are being dishonored for his name. And some of that dishonor will come our way. And maybe that's surprising for you because you thought being a Christian was sort of a Sunday thing or a services thing or just being part of a group for a short time, like a sort of social club. Being associated with Christ, being one of his followers, and being part of his family, it means so much more than that. And Christ is saying to us, are you willing to bear my name? Are you willing to be counted among my sufferings? To be rejected as I was? And we want to think about that. We want to ask for his help to do that. Because that's not natural for us. That's not what we want usually. It's not what I want usually. I want to be liked. I want people to affirm me and to approve of me. Not to say bad things about me. We've got so much to learn from our brothers and sisters around the world. Christians all over the world are experiencing this exact same thing, right? It's very unusual, actually, in the UK to be in this situation where from years and years to say I'm a Christian, yeah, people belittle you, people have a bit of a joke at your expense, but that's it, right? In most countries around the world, it's no, I don't want you to be a Christian, or I'm going to reject you, I'm going to cut you off from the family, or I'm going to... There's always dishonor for following Christ. And this is where we've got a lot to learn as Christians here. And we can learn. We can learn from Paul. He describes his sufferings, the dishonor that he faced for standing for Christ. And with God's help, we can imitate him. We can admire how the cross has started to shape the decisions that these Christians have made. We could admire how their courage and their boldness that God has given to them. that they are willing to count all things as loss compared to knowing Christ. But he is more to them than what people will say about them. Should I pray? Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you really do challenge us and you give us a new way of thinking and a new way of living. Thank you that you don't leave us on our own. Thank you that through your word and your apostles and the example that they have given to us, you show us what it is like to live for you in this world. And Father God, we pray that you would get us ready to receive dishonor, to be dishonored, even by those who we do care about their opinions. We pray that if that is already happening in our lives, that you'd remind us that that is nothing new, and that that is actually what it means to be your follower. We pray that you'd help us to not respond in kind, to not want to get back or to take action against them. We pray that you would help us to be those who would pray for our enemies and love those who persecute us. Lord God, would you also save us from pursuing people's honouring of us and loving the world and what it thinks of us. We pray that you would make us more and more like Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to pray together using the prayer on the screen. I'll put it up on the screen and give you a chance to read it for yourself. Don't want to put words in your mouth. So if you want to respond to what we've been hearing, then you can have a look and pray this prayer together. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to suffer and be rejected for us. We look forward to the day when every knee will bow to him. We admit that we often choose comfort instead of being counted with him and with his sufferings. We want the resurrection, but not the cross of shame. We clamour for honour and the approval of others. We need you to change us from within. Help us to live faithful to Jesus and the cross. Make us willing to embrace weakness and dishonour now for his sake. Amen.